Welcome and thank you for clicking on the Harmonic Concordance blogcast, your source for inspired interviews that explore the edges of consciousness and the role of spirit in our transformative times. Now here's your host, Johnny Marie Hiel.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on the Harmonic Concordance blogcasts. We're very pleased today to have with us Linda Hill, a very well-known astrologer. We'll talk about some of the details of that when we get into our conversation. But for now, let me introduce Linda Hill. Hi, Linda.
Hey, Johnny.
Well, thank you for being here. Thanks for cutting out some time. I know you're very busy, but I'm very appreciative of you giving me some time today.
So, my pleasure.
Okay, so let me start, and I'll go to asking you a question about who Linda Hill is, perhaps aside from astrology first, and then we'll go into the astrology.
Certainly. Well, I guess, well, where do I start? Well, I've always been a traveler, and one of the things that really drove me through my later teen years was the desire to go to Iran and Iraq and Jordan and Syria and all right through the Middle East. And indeed, I did that in Turkey. And so not that it defines me, but certainly that period was an extraordinary event in my life. And it was very interesting later on to find the Sabian symbols because, you know, the Sabian people were from a place called Urfa, from Haran, in northeastern Turkey. And I'd gone within 100 kilometers of that exact place, unbeknownst to me. I didn't know anything about them consciously at the time. So that doesn't define me, of course, but that is one of the things that springs to mind when you ask me that question. But, you know, I grew up in Australia, grew up in Sydney, moved around a lot of instability, broken family when I was young. So a lot of independence and stuff like that. You know, my father was an astrologer, so, you know, I'd go and stay with him at his farm and he'd talk about astrology every now and then and I'd think, yeah.
Poo-poo.
Yeah, and he was an Edgar Cayce healer. And I'm very grateful that one time he invited me to join in on the meeting, only just the once I did it, on a Monday night. We used to have healing meetings with a bunch of his friends that were in this Edgar Cayce group in Sydney, Australia. And that was really something. I think I was about 18 then or 17 or something. So, you know, I'm no stranger to a lot of this stuff, you know. But, mostly just, you know, we used to go to the beach, you know. I used to stare into space a lot, I think.
Look like you're paying attention.
Yeah, that's right. I had to look like it. I didn't know what I was doing, but an interesting childhood in a manner of speaking.
All right, so you come out of your childhood. You're no longer 17. Your next step.
Well, it was certainly going through the Middle East, and then I, you know, I spent some time in the in Great Britain, the UK, lived there for a while. And then I went to Morocco and right through Europe. I was always traveling. And I spent almost a year in Japan. And then, I think I was about 4 months in Hong Kong working there, typing. It's fascinating. So then I came back to Sydney and I was prepared to go back to live in Kyoto. I absolutely loved Kyoto in Japan and I thought I was going to live there. But then I met my future husband, and I really didn't think I was going to meet an Australian guy and get married and have children. That wasn't on the agenda, but that's what did happen. And so I had the kids, and very soon after I had my second child, I started to get very involved in the astrology. So that's where that sort of started to eventuate.
And that was year?
1987 was when I actually... So it's 30 years exactly, and it was January 1987. I've got it written in my ephemeris. When I bought my ephemeris at my first astrology class, I wrote January 1987. So it's interesting that it's 30 years ago. Interesting to me.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. And I was thinking about it actually throughout January. It did come up into my, you know, consciousness a number of times. So I did first year with a wonderful teacher called Chris Turner in Sydney. And second year I wanted to branch out. I ended up with another wonderful teacher, Alia Griffin, a male teacher. And I did second and third year concurrently. I couldn't get enough of astrology. I was having a huge Uranus transit to my Jupiter opposition. And, yeah, it was almost like I wanted to have eat astrology. I wanted to have it for breakfast, lunch and dinner. And I was, you know, I could say I was obsessed. I guess I could say that I was obsessed. But doing second and third year concurrently was rather interesting because I'd be doing things in third year that I hadn't even covered in second year yet. So, you know, it was, but no, I didn't care. I just, you know, devoured it and bought every book known to man on astrology. And, yeah, and then, you know, fairly soon after started, you know, doing charts. I did a lot of charts by hand. I did, I don't know, maybe 100, 200 charts by hand. And then I got a computer with the software, Nova software, Rob Hand's software.
Right.
And so that was great. And, of course, then I was just, you know, doing everybody's chart even more and wanting to have a look. And then I guess I could fill that in also with how I found the Sabians course. Because I was at class one time with Alia Griffin in Sydney, and he was talking about the progress moon phases. He was mentioning everybody's progress new moon and when it was happening. And then he said the Sabian symbol. Now, I'm totally into progressions. I love progressions in astrology. But when he said the Sabian symbol, I went, oh, my God, what's that? And it was like I latched onto it. You know, like I just went, I have to know more about this, you know. And I remember buying, I got a secondhand copy of Dane Rudyard's Astrological Mandala.
Right.
On the Sabian symbols, yeah, which, of course, is, you know, it's a bit like the I Ching, you know, of the, you know, astrology in a way, speaking. And, you know, I always think of Mark Evan Jones' book on the Sabian symbols as being the Bible. And I think of Dane Rudyard's as being like the I Ching, you know, Wilhelm's, you know, interpretation. So I was always into the I Ching, by the way. Well, I have, I'm not bragging, but I memorized all of the hexagrams and all of the lines, and I can do it with a couple of three 10-cent coins. I can, you know, I can throw a hexagram and know what the moving lines are and everything. I have that sort of mind. Now I've got all the Sabian symbols memorized, and it's not bragging. It's just what I do. I mean, if you asked me what I did last week at lunch Wednesday, I wouldn't have a clue. So, it's not like I'm saying I'm a genius at any of this, but it's just I have this bit of, you know, I have this sort of photographic mind. Anyway, back to, you know, like I started to look into the Sabian symbols. You know, I found them really interesting, but then I had a reading with a clairvoyant who said I was going to do something really different in astrology, and she said, you're going to lecture and tour and write books, and one's going to be huge, she said. And I didn't realize it was the Sabian symbols at the time, but then I started to investigate them like a woman possessed, definitely. And within 6 months, I gave my first lecture in the States at the invitation of Ray Merriman. And then a year later, I spoke in New York, and that was at the invitation of Michael Luton.
Okay, wait, stop there for a minute. Stop there for a minute. Give us a quick word about Ray and a quick word about Michael. Who are they?
Oh, yes, certainly. Well, Ray Merriman's a wonderful friend. He's very big in the financial markets with astrology. But he does much more than that. He pioneered, you know, work with solar returns. He put a lot of hard work into organizing conferences, and it was because I met him at UAC in Washington. I think it was 1991, Washington DC. I met him, and he sent me an invitation to come and do a free lecture in Michigan at the ARC. Is it ARC? ARC. Conference, yeah, in Michigan, in Lansing, Michigan, the year later. And so, yeah, Ray's been a tireless worker, and Michael Luton is from New York, and he's a long-term friend as well. And he does wonderful work, especially, I think, with NCGR. But, you know, he stands alone as a fabulous astrologer and entertainer and a fabulous mind. I love the way Michael's mind works. In fact, it was what he said to me. He asked me to describe a Sabian symbol And this was early on in my, you know, investigations into them. And as it happened, I really understood this symbol and remembered it. And so I just started to reel off all this stuff about this particular degree. And he said, I want you for my conference next year. So I'd only just arrived really in Lansing, and suddenly I realized I was going to be speaking in New York the following year. Now I've done 29 lecture tours of the United States.
Are you planning to come back anytime soon?
Well, I'd like to. I mean, I haven't got any invitations. I guess I'm in a bit of a lull about all of that. I'm quite happy to not doing anything right now, although I always long to go to the States. I love it there. But, you know, I'd like to move there. I'd move to California in a heartbeat.
Let me point you to a discussion about Elsie Wheeler.
Certainly.
And who is she?
Okay. Well, she was born in 1887 in Illinois, and she was an orphan from a very early age. She first her mother died when I think she was 3 or 4, and then her father died before she was 7. And but more importantly than that, even from the age of 3, she was confined to a wheelchair with chronic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, terrible. And just about everybody in her family died. And she came from a very poor family, farmers. It's interesting. My father was a farmer, and her family, you know, were farmers, and so. She was, sent off to the Home for the Incurable in St. Louis, Missouri, and she spent 30 years there. And it was about 1921, I think, or 22 or something like that. Oh, no, I think, sorry, apologies. It was 1923, I think it was. She ended up in San Diego. And she became a spiritualist medium. And it's interesting to note that all of that came, I think, from being in the Home for the Incurable. You know, she spent so much time, even as a very young girl, with people who were dying. And so she had this incredible gift for, bringing through messages. And she was a spiritualist medium right up till the time she died when she was 52. She died in San Diego after an operation. But Mark Evan Jones chose her to do the Sabian symbols because he said that she was like a fresh slate. I don't think he used those exact words. Just that she wasn't somebody who had been out there in society. She didn't know about astrology particularly at that time, although I'm pretty sure she must have studied it in the end. She thanked him in his will, in her will. She thanked Mark Evan Jones in her will for bringing her to the work. So she did Bible study classes, and she gave them, and she used to appear at the spiritualist church every week in San Diego. She was confined to a wheelchair. She never married. She lived with a man who was a divorcee that was 15 years older than her, whose name was Frank Baxter. And this is where it gets weird for me. You know, Frank Baxter. My mother married a man called Ian Baxter when I was 6. And when I was 11, I wanted to change my name to Baxter. I remember vividly asking my mother if I could change my name to Baxter. And she said, nah, too hard. You know, and your father probably wouldn't like it if you did that. My name was Rigby, my maiden name. And I was always a little bit of a lonely girl, you know, that whole Eleanor Rigby, you know, the song and everything. It was sort of like, oh, no, can't I be a Baxter and be like my mother and my stepfather and my half-sister? And so we never did that. It's okay, but, you know, it's no big deal. But when I got into the Sabian symbols and realized that Elsie Wheeler lived with a man, Frank Baxter, you know, you can imagine my, you know, my mouth hung open. And then my mother married a man called Frank. She divorced, you know, Ian Baxter. And then married a man called Frank. So there's Frank Baxter. So there's a whole bunch of, there's a lot of synchronicities there with Elsie Wheeler, including the fact that her mother's maiden name was Hill. And I married a man called Hill, you know, 120 years, whatever it is later, you know, not knowing any of this, of course, you know. So, you know, Elsie Wheeler's grandmother's name was Helen Hill. And when we gave birth to, well, I gave birth to my daughter, Jessica, Richard and I, my then husband, you know, looked at each other and said, you know, let's call her Jessica Helen Hill. And then when I was researching Elsie Wheeler, I found out that her maternal grandmother's name was Helen Hill. So it just goes on and on.
All right. And Elsie was the channel to bring in the Sabian symbols.
Absolutely. And it was quite a double blind sort of one. Yes, Elsie was the, you know, I actually like the word channel. It's funny, I avoid it. I don't know why I have this aversion to the word channel or channeling. I think I have to get over it. I still stumble over it, you know, when I use it. I use it, you know, but I still stumble over it. But anyway, for the want of another word, yes, she was a channel and an extraordinary one. And apparently, you know, they did the Sabian symbols in one day, gave birth to them in one day in 1925. It's been worked out. I mean, Dane Rajah said that if they did an eight-hour day doing the 360 Sabian symbols, she saw one or you know, they transcribe one every minute and a half for 8 hours. So I'll just explain so the listeners know what I'm talking about, because I'm jumping ahead. Mark Evan Jones had 363-inch by 5-inch white index cards that on the back of each one he had previously written the degrees of the zodiac, like Aries 1, Aries 2, Aries 3, 360 of them corresponding to the zodiac. So the story goes that he went and got Elsie Wheeler and they went to Balboa Park one day in 1925 and they sat in the park and he would shuffle cards and take a card unbeknownst to him or to Elsie, what degree was on the back of that card, and he would put it, you know, the blank side up, and she would see, she would receive a message of a Sabian symbol, which is a phrase, a short phrase, and he'd write it on the card, and he'd discard that one, and he'd chuck the cards and take another one, and she'd see another message and or hear another message, don't know quite how that worked. And, you know, he'd write it down on that card. And so they did 360 in one day, which means one every minute and a half for 8 hours, which is extraordinary. You know, and she was going to have, you know, she obviously had a physical limitation. She was in a wheelchair, and this was 1925. It's very obvious to me that she would have had her nurse with her that day, Pearl, her name was. I always wanted a set of pearls, and that's been interesting to me too. Always wanted a set of pearls, and I didn't know why. I didn't care about diamond rings or anything. I just wanted a set of pearls. And the very first photograph that I found in San Diego in the archives, the newspaper archives, very grainy photograph of Elsie, she had a set of pearls around her. The only photograph I've ever seen. And in that moment, I knew that I didn't need to have a set of pearls.
And when did Elsie pass?
1938.
Plenty of time for you to get into her. In other words, I mean, I've seen the connections and I've talked to you a lot.
Yeah.
There are enough connections to give me the suggestion that you and Elsie share the same soul.
Yeah, it could be. Yes, we could share the same soul or soul path or something along those lines. I have very strong love for her, which transcends, like, you know, normal reason. I have time when I do lectures, you know, or even with readings, people will say to me, they say, you know, you're channeling Elsie, you were Elsie, you are Elsie. You know, she comes through you or whatever. Certainly the story that's me to where I am is, it defies, you know, common sense in many ways. It's like, you know, some big holographic thing that's going on. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't get into the glamour of it because I'm not in this for, you know, like, you know, my ego sort of stands aside from that. I'm interested in the ego side of it. So I don't attach myself to any outcome to that. But I certainly am mystified by how enormous the story is, because, I mean, I can talk about how enormous the story is for an hour and a half.
Well, let's not do that today. let me ask you a question. How did you become involved in the harmonic concordance?
Well, I think that was from meeting you and you telling me about it. And because I don't remember when I met you, but it was before that. Yes.
Oh yeah, I stumbled on you on the web, and I found out about your work with the Sabians, and I called you or contacted you. And this was late 98, right? So almost 20 years ago. And
you've got a good memory.
Well, I remember when I discovered the chart. So it was either late 98 or very early in 99 that I was onto you, that I was talking to you, we were emailing back and forth. So I was aware of who you were, and I had the temerity to say, "Hey, why don't you do some work on the Sabian symbols for the chart?" Well, we wound up having a piece that was that I put together, but it was all your work on the Sabians in the concordance chart. And I found a very significant element of spirituality in those particular symbols.
Right? Absolutely.
So that would lead me to the next question. How does spirit show itself in your work?
Well, that's a big question, isn't it?
Yes.
I've never been asked that question.
Oh, goody, goody.
Well, I think it just, you know, I just come out with stuff. When I'm doing a reading, I just come out with stuff. And also, you know, in my interpretation of the symbol, sometimes I'll read a page and I go, oh, did I really say that about that symbol? You know, like it's I don't know, it feels to me like it is some sort of holographic thing, and I do feel like I get messages coming through. There's no two ways about that. So, and also I really feel like the Sabian symbols, you know, describe people's spiritual journey. Well, it describes their physical journey as well, you know, their physical life, and their creative life, you know. That's a hard question to answer. I think there's some connection into the big crack in the universe that brings us these answers to these questions, and it might be, you know, it's probably very holographic, you know, what can I say? I don't know.
Well, thank you. I'm very much into the holographic universe, by the way. I haven't picked up Michael Talbot's book in 92. Yeah, but, you know, me, what I do is I call people. So I called Michael Talbot's publisher. Right, and I said, "Can I get in touch with Michael Talbot?" And she said, "I'm sorry, Michael just died."
Yeah, he died of leukemia or something.
And it was quick, right?
So
nobody was really expecting it, but he left behind this really great book, which opened on to many people discussing the holographic universe. But
I've actually got it in my bedroom. I've got it in my bedroom. It's just sitting right there.
Okay. Well, I have it. Plus, I have your book, you know. And it's signed to me. And this is like almost 20 years ago. And it's Jan and I still use it in our spiritual practice. So I'm very happy to have that and have you as a part of the Harmonic Concordance family. I should tell the folks that you have written a couple of pieces for the blog. It's there on the astrology page on the blog. So I would ask them to go check those out. But so you've been, you know, a major part of the growth and development of the Harmonic Concordance and the Harmonic Concordance blog. So I owe you a great debt of gratitude.
So, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's interesting, you know, that full moon in the chart of the Harmonic Concordance, that's my full moon reversed.
Right.
So I was born right on the full moon as Scorpio. No, it's the same one. It's the same full moon.
It's the same full moon, right.
Yeah.
So
it's a very interesting chart. You know, have you looked at the progressions? You know, in 6 months' time, that progressed Sun of the concordance chart is going into Sagittarius.
Now, as we speak now?
In 6 months' time, yeah.
Oh.
So,
well, we'll come up with some truth then.
August, yes. And next year, the chart is having its progressed new moon. So that's another very interesting thing that's happening as well. So, you know, it feels like it's like, you know, there's a whole new beginning to that. And, you know, the progressed new moon in Sagittarius. Wonderful.
All right. Well, talking about coming up, let me sort of bring this to a close shortly. What are your plans? Are you writing anything else? Are you just trying to get out of the heat down there or what?
It's been rushingly hot here in Australia, very breaking temperature records every single week. It's been really bizarre this summer, bizarrely hot. But yeah, as far as writing, I do want to write another book. I've got another couple of books in me. I need the universe to conspire to make that happen in terms of financial resources to do it. It always costs a lot of money to write a book. I definitely want to, as I've said. I think it's really, really fascinating to look at the oppositions and squares from each degree, and they tell a story. All of them do. It's extraordinary. You know, like if you look at the 12th degree of fixed, I see that as the Cinderella Grand Cross. You know, there's, you know, in the Grand Crosses, you know, the oppositions and the squares to every single degree, there is a theme that comes through with the saving symbol. So Mark Evan Jones did the oppositions. There's been a few people who've looked at the oppositions, but I'd like to look at the whole Grand Cross, the squares as well. I do that in my work, and I've got them all in my head, so I can sit there and look at a chart, and suddenly I go, oh, yeah, so that degree squares their moon, you know, their whole life, you know, that degree will square their moon. So there's a theme there with that. I'd like to explicate that, have a good look at it. I mean, you can do it also with the trines and the sextiles, you know, you can do it with any aspect, and, you know, Robert Blaschke looked into that to a certain degree. But the way I'd be looking at it is, when I say to a certain degree, he didn't do what I'm thinking of doing, and I'm not thinking of doing what he's already done. You know, it'd be something different. And I love Robert Blaschke's work on the savings laws, but and he's sadly missed. But, yeah, so there's that, you know. And I'd like to write another book that's very similar to the Oracle book that I've already done, which I've, you know, revised a number of times. It's much better now than it was years ago. You know, I'd like to write that in terms of linking it to someone with their chart. It would be a change of syntax. It would be a change of approach to it. You know, like the Oracle is written in answer to a question, which, of course, you can use when you're looking up, you know, planets in your chart. You can totally use it. It's just that I would like to write it, like, with a dedication to how it would be in someone's psyche rather than as an oracle. So that would be something I'd like to do one day, hopefully. Just need, you know, I need to be able to, you know, pay my bills and exist. And, you know, the life of the astrologer is rather uncertain. So
my first astrology teacher, when I told him that I really liked astrology, he said, don't quit your day job. Listen, talking about generating some revenue for you, let's give people the web address for your site and then tell them how they can get in touch with you and then tell them how they can book a reading with you.
Thank you. My site is Sabian Symbols, S-Y-M-B-O-L-S. Of course, we can put the link there so they'll see it, sabiansymbols.com. Mm-hmm. And there's a link there. There's a store. You can go into that and read up on the readings. There's also a donate page there, you know, so people can donate. And, I do get donations. They're usually small, but that's fantastic because it all adds up, and I appreciate every single donation, whether it's $5 or whatever. It's wonderful that people take the time and are so, you know, generous. So, that's there, and on the site also there's memberships too. People can sign up with a membership, a paid membership or a free membership. Of course, a paid membership helps me to continue work on the site. On the site you can go and you can do your chart, you can do, you know, see your saving symbols, you can look at the degrees before and after each planet or point in your chart. So that can be a fascinating journey as well.
Stop there for a minute. Let's repeat the website slowly.
Certainly. It's www.sabiansymbols, S-A-B-I-A-N, symbols is S-Y-M-B-O-L-S.com, sabiansymbols.com.
And so, will you take an email?
Yeah, certainly. Well, it's simple, actually. It's sabiansymbols@gmail.com. So that's I'm glad I snapped that that name early on in the piece with Gmail, because now it might be, you know, sabiansymbols93 or something. Yeah. You know how these email addresses are.
Well, that's so great.
Yes, simply sabiansymbols@gmail.com.
All right. And the last question, what did I miss? What have we not talked about that you'd like to mention? I know your daughter has been in the Middle East.
Yeah, it's very curious that she ended up there the way that she did. She spent a year in the Middle East in the Arab Spring as a Middle East correspondent. She's got an enormous affinity with the Middle East, which, you know, is rather interesting. And she lived for 9 months in Cairo. She was in Tahrir Square, right through the uprising. She'd be down there in the square with all the rioting and the protesting and the tear gas and the whole thing. That was interesting. And then she went to live in Beirut. She was there for 3 months. And she had a very interesting story about Jess. She then had a brain seizure flying from Yemen to Lebanon and had brain surgery in Beirut, major brain surgery to remove a brain tumour. So it's been a very interesting ride, you know, with all of this the last number of years. And I'm going to be a grandmother.
Where is she now?
Huh?
Where is she now?
Oh, she's living in Bondi, in Sydney now. And she's just won a major journalist award. Major. It's the major journalist award you can get. A Walkley Award. She's just won one of those. Last year she won, there's a subset of the Walkleys, and she won three of them last year, the year before. Last year she won one. And then she's just recently won Amnesty International Award for her work. Also, she was up for Australian Human Rights Commission Award last year. She was up for Australian Human Rights Commission Award the year before as well. So she's killing it. It's extraordinary what she's done. So she's been concentrating on domestic violence in Australia, actually, and she knows everything. She knows so much about the Middle East, but now she's doing this here in the Family Law Court in Australia. So,
Sounds like a multi-talented woman following on the footsteps of her multi-talented mother. So,
thank you. I should mention my son too. He's amazing.
Okay, yeah. What's he doing?
Joel. Joel is wonderful. But two very clever, very clever, very nice individuals. So I think that's more important than anything. And Joel, Joel's very involved in politics in Australia, and he's just graduated from Sydney University late last year. He's doing politics and social sciences, and he, I don't know if I've described it the way he would describe it, but he's really into politics, and he's very, very smart. What he's doing at the moment is, you know, he goes around fixing people's computers, but he does much more than that because people just appreciate him so much. He turns up and he makes their computers better, and at the same time he's very engaging and always very interesting, and he's much more than a computer technician. But he's yet to find his groove of where he's going to be in all of that. But I think
he's still way before his Saturn return. So let's wait for that. Find out what his groove is. Yeah. All right, listen, Linda, I want to wrap this up. But before I do, I want to thank you so much for sharing some of your life, some of your history with astrology, even some background on your kids. So thank you very much for your time.
The Sabian symbol for the harmonic concordance chart, the Sabian symbol for the sun, is a woman, the father of her own child. And I have to say that I've never in an interview talked about either of my children when I've been talking about my astrology or, the Sabian symbols or anything. It's just the amazing way these things broadcast themselves, that the sun in the concordance chart is on the woman, the father of her own child. And this talks about, you know, taking responsibility for ourselves. But, you know, it can talk about motherhood. It can talk about your children. It can talk about, you know, what you've birthed in your life. I just had to say that I see a direct correlation with that degree of the sun, with the fact that we brought in Jess and Joel at the end of this conversation. Well, you did, you know, so thank you.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that.
She blew my mind. I was very disappointed to hear that she'd passed away, but you know, she's now in spirit. She's probably looking down on us right now.
I got those two together. All right. Well, again, thank you. I'm trying to get off this so I don't take too much of your time, but I could go on with you about lots of things. But I'm very glad that you've been here today and that we've had this chance to talk and to share some of you on the Concordance blog.
Thanks, Johnny. I've really enjoyed it.
Cool. I love you, Linda. Have a great life.
Love you, Johnny. Love to Jan.
Sure enough. Good night.
Bye for now.
thank you for having tuned in to the Harmonic Concordance blogcast with Johnny Marahiel and special guest. For more information about the blog, please visit www.hcblog.org. We wish you peace and blessings on your journey. Namaste.